Hello, and welcome back to RPG R&D. I am one of your hosts, Jess Geyer. I'm one half of Wannabe Games, and I make tabletop role-playing games. And I'm here, as I always am, with my co-host, Craig Campbell. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Jess. I'm Craig Campbell. I'm the owner of Nerdburger Games, and I make tabletop role-playing games, too. And we are here with Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Who
Sarah,
are
who
you?
are
Tell us
you?
who you are.
I.
Justify your existence.
My name is Sarah. You might know me on DM's Guild as the Dungeons and Djinn, like the genie, not the drink. You might have seen me as one of the lead designers on Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. You might have seen some of the stuff I've made since then, particularly my Kickstarter. Oh, I've got two, and I just blanked on the. I know the one that's coming up. Stranger Sights is the one that I have already come out with. And I've got another one launching in February that, as you can see, is eating all of my brain, called Splendid Souvenirs, which will be a collection of magic items, curses, rules, other fun kinds of mundane treasure, things like that. And then I also am a professional game master, so I run games for paying clients. And I am working on a PhD, so hopefully I will be a candidate very, very soon. I am waiting on the paperwork to process.
What don't you do? That is a lot of stuff on your plate, Sarah.
The laundry sometimes.
Wah, wah.
Before we started recording, we were talking about a social media platform blowing up, a major upheaval. And you know, that's kind of related to our topic for today. Major upheavals, total party kills, devastating events that happen to our players, and how do we recover from them? The game's not over yet. What are we going to do? We are going to be discussing that today. And you know, Sarah, you're a professional GM. I feel like the pressure is even higher if you get paid for 4 hours of a game session and there's a TPK halfway through. What do we do? I'm curious about first why you picked this topic and your experience behind it, and especially your professional experience there.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it because I've run a lot of games and I've had a decent number of TPKs, including one campaign, which TPK'd like four times,
Jeez.
which was not. It was mostly the player's fault, but it was sometimes the dice's fault. Decisions were made. So I've had a lot of TPKs. I've had to manage a lot of TPKs. And I think that they can kind of be emotionally difficult. And, but they also, the threat of a TPK for many people really enhances the game because there's no reward if there's not some risk. And part of what sets D&D aside, like separate from a video game, right, is that your character can die and not come back. That is not how a video game operates, right? But that is how D&D operates. And so that, I think, is a really, the fact that that can happen is an important element of certainly Dungeons and Dragons, a lot of other tabletop games as well, where like there are definitely cozy ones where that's not a thing, but a lot of them, that is a thing, right? And so talking about what happens when it does happen, I think is really important to make them feel a little less scary for the game master.
Yeah, it gets talked about a lot with D&D, and I think that the Total Party Kill TPK moniker came out of D&D because it's been around as long as I've gamed.
Yeah.
But I think there's certainly games that, like, you know, any horror game,
yep.
There's probably a serious risk of that, more so in some than others. You know, if things go sideways in a Call of Cthulhu game, like when violence breaks out in Call of Cthulhu, that's really, really bad.
Yeah.
The system is not forgiving. So that can spiral. And then you've got, you know, games where we kind of expect there to be like that sort of thing happen, or very much a risk, like Alien. Just because that's, you know, the movie franchise is like one or two characters survive and everybody else dies.
Yeah. Or OSR games where there's an expectation
OSR
that your
stuff.
Characters are very disposable.
Yep. where you're running them through the meat grinder all the time, and
Hope
it's
you
just
can
a
make
question of
it.
like,
Yeah, some games are designed for it specifically, and I think it really only matters because, and then those games are designed to handle it. The players are expecting it. Like those, like I'm thinking the Dungeon Crawlers classics. Like literally, your first character sheet is four character sheets because one of these four characters might survive. I don't know. They have a whole, like you can buy a whole stamp that says dead, like whatever it is. But like I think like the issue comes in when the players aren't expecting it and the GM's not expecting it, because now you have to deal with it. The mechanics aren't there to necessarily deal with it. D&D, even though we started talking about this with D&D, like there's not really anything in the game that says, okay, all of the players are dead. What now? Like there's not a guideline for that. And that kind of leaves the players and the GMs like at a loss, and like they have to figure it out on their own. And especially like oh my gosh, like especially if it's characters that they really liked, or even just like one character dying that was like how, what do we, like that's a grief moment, right? Like I feel like you go through the stages of grief with that, like disbelief, redoing the math, like all of that. That's just really, it's really tough.
I'd say there's, with certain games and with certain types of campaigns, it's absolutely grief. Your character is an extension of you. You've created it. It's like it's your baby. You care a great deal about how the character does and what happens to the character. Aside from games where like it's gonna happen, like just get ready, like OSR games. But yeah, because I've experienced it. I've had, the TPK thing happen a few times, and the shock level that comes out of that. And I think that, that sort of shock can happen if the players are very invested in some other aspect of the game where there's a sudden and huge major upheaval, where it can be the deaths of NPCs that have become beloved to the characters. They will grieve those NPCs, the loss of those NPCs, much like they might grieve their own character. And major world events that, maybe shake the foundation of what the game is about, like where suddenly the players are like, I don't know how to relate to this game world anymore because this huge thing has happened and it's not the world I know anymore.
I
I think
think the first, oh, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
I think the first thing that you have to do is pause when that happens. It's going to be very difficult unless like you're in the middle of a combat, which in which case, like if there are still characters alive, finish out whatever you're doing. But if you go from a TPK right into, okay, everybody make new characters, you're gonna have a bad time. That's a point where people might quit at that point. I've seen GMs have to kind of talk players back from leaving the campaign because their character died. And the way that it's always worked best is when there was a pause and some aftercare and talking about the emotions, which can be weird to do. Like I don't think this kind of thing matters if you aren't playing a longer campaign, because you're not going to get like super attached to those characters. But like you're playing a longer campaign, and even if you do know all these players really well, that can still be like really weird. Like people have a hard time talking about emotions like that, like talking about loss, and especially like loss of a fictional character. That can be really tough. But like my first recommendation is to stop. So okay, we're gonna take a little break and just like talk, like give that person some space if they need it, or talk with them if they need it. But like be a friend in that moment outside of the game, I think is step number one. Make sure everyone's okay.
I might even add in a step zero, which is that it's very rare that a TPK comes out of nowhere, right? And
Yes.
that's
Okay,
probably a
yeah.
bad thing. If a TPK comes out of nowhere, that's a rocks falls, everybody dies. So it starts even before, when you notice that things are getting a little hairy, that's where I like to kind of give the above table a hint of like, ooh, guys, the dice aren't liking you. Or, so you're all going to walk into the dragon's lair, single file. And you're not
Naked
going to look for any
with your
other.
eyes closed.
But there's ways you can kind of
Yeah.
foreshadow that. And also just remind people, like, hey, I personally, I will very, very rarely fudge a roll. I will sometimes fudge one if it's like, okay, you just joined and this was unfair. Like, the monsters just crit on you three times in a row. One of them wasn't a crit. But I will very, very rarely fudge rolls. And I will, you get one, like one to maybe save your bacon. But if you then proceed to die again, the dice said no. And so being clear on the expectations of like, look, like I might do the softest of fudges if I think like the dial just needs to be adjusted a little bit, particularly if that's might be my screw up where I overtuned an encounter and I need to just fudge something down because I made this not fun, my bad. But by and large, the dice do what the dice do. And that expectation, coupled with the guys, are we thinking about this? And then the like, I tend to like honestly ham up the like, oh my gosh, guys, like you could legitimately TPK right now. And I'll like ham up my stress because I never want them to feel like I'm like, oh, TPK, let's go. I'm an evil game master who wants to punish my players. Right? That's not fun. I want to be like, oh gosh, the dice maybe want you to die. I always blame the mechanics if I can. And I think that's true for most games where you can TPK is you can blame the mechanics. And with all of that is in place, then I think it's a little easier for players to be like, okay, maybe we should not have walked into the White Dragon's Ice Lair with no rest, really tired. That one might have been on us.
I think too, like that's a good opportunity. Like when people start to accept that, oh, we're gonna die as a GM, like setting that up, yes, like I love that. Like playing up your own anxiety of it. That's great. And it kind of helps them feel a little bit better too. I totally see that.
We're
And then
all
you
in
can
it
give them up.
together.
Yeah. You can give them some opportunities in game to like we I'm just gonna go about this whole conversation with the idea that a TPK is inevitable and go from there. Like you could give them opportunities in character to reflect like what's going through your mind, like give them a time to like have a heroic moment, to have a thought, to think about what they're leaving behind, have their life flash before their eyes, because then the sudden death of a character is not so sudden, like you've led up to it. And it's not just like, oh, I'm dead, I can't talk anymore, I'm done, I'm gone. It just makes things feel a little bit better. I mean that can be sadder too, but sometimes
Oh
like
yeah, but
sometimes
that's
the
okay.
sadness, sometimes the sadness is good. Sometimes processing the sadness before the actual death
It's
is
narrative
good.
sadness.
Right.
And it can help provide a sense of closure when that final die roll happens and like it's like, okay, that's it. And it's something that you see, you know, as I often do, I compare things to television and movies, and there's, you know, like there's the cliche of, oh, well, this character's getting an awful lot of character development, and we're seeing a flashback about something we've never seen a flashback before, you know, and this is a show where characters die. And I'm like, oh, well, that character, you know, like this character's on their way out. I should prepare myself for that very distinct possibility. And you can do that as a GM too, to help. To, as Sarah was saying, to perhaps warn, like all of a sudden I'm going to sidetrack everybody into like these little character moments that summarize that how can I have a flashback of each character that sums up who they are as a person right here in the middle of this fight or leading into this bad decision.
I will also flag that if someone wants to sacrifice themselves to avoid the TPK, I will work really hard to make that possible. If someone is like, my character is going to step forward and like try and, I'm using the dragon because dragon's great, right? I'm going to use like the might of my god to try and distract the dragon so that everyone else can book it. The dragon's paying attention. The dragon's not watching the other four tasty snacks go. The dragon is like,
There's a
yes, the dragon's gonna go for that. I'm not gonna roll for that. The sacrifice should work if at all possible, because that's a big deal if you're giving up your character voluntarily.
there's a a rule in Moonpunk that we have called "There's Just No Fucking Way," which is when you're in a situation like that, you get to seize the narrative. There's no way for you, but you, whatever you do, as long as it's narratively plausible, the rest of them get out, and you go out in a blaze of glory.
I
And I think
love
that's really
that.
fun. Yeah.
It's so fun. It goes from
And
my
that
character died to my character saved the party. That's so
my
good.
yeah, my character was a hero, went out in like a really cool way, and then they're gonna feel better, and then you can keep on with the rest of the campaign or the rest of the game session while they figure out what they're gonna do next, without having to deal with that huge upheaval. It's just an upheaval for them, and then you might not even need to do anything. Like, you can have the characters talk about it later and everything, of course, but that's now that's just a character death.
Yeah.
But
It's not
if
always possible.
everyone's gone, yeah, if
Okay, it
everyone's gone,
is.
if they in fact all do go,
My favorite things that have happened, like especially if it's a longer campaign, is that we all make new characters and the GM takes a moment, like maybe even we play some other games in between while the GM kind of prepares. And then we all play characters that are tangentially related to the action. Maybe we are even like we know the former adventurers who passed away, or like we're NPC, like we're coming in like, well, I really like this NPC. I want to play this NPC actually. Can I do that? And then starting back in the campaign with a time jump with a major consequence that happened as a result. Could be a negative consequence, like consequence, or a positive consequence. Like, yeah, the white dragon ate all of us, and then I was going back into a slumber for 100 years, like whatever it is. Or yeah, the big bad evil guy killed all of the adventurers and now is the ruling monarch over this land, and now we're all dealing with those consequences. Like, those have been some of the most fun events. I've also had GMs, like the first time that's ever happened to me was we were all in the very last session of this long campaign. This campaign had gone on for like a year and we played weekly for hours a week. And the final battle went so horrendously bad for us. And it was the dice, it was the mechanics. It just didn't work out, and a bit of poor planning on our parts. And one by one, our characters died. Like, just scattered throughout this moon base that we
Oh
were on.
no.
And some of our fates were more ambiguous. Like the GM made a point, like, okay, you go through this door, here you are, you're gone. Like, that's it for you. No more rules for you. Like, didn't kill us, just left that kind of hanging, but we were not playing anymore. And then at the end, he's like, well, that happened. Take your time. We're gonna play a couple games in between. And our next campaign was set in the same world decades later. Like, 2 decades
Nice.
later. And he kept dropping hints that, like, these some maybe like what happened with these characters, what happened with the characters who killed our characters, like all of that. And that was really, really fun and really, really, really rewarding, because we got to keep like the legend of the characters alive. And I think that that's what mattered most to me, was that the legend of the characters was still alive, and knowing what happened. I think like having the closure of what happened, or the open-ended closure of what happened, was fun for me. That's a tough move to pull off.
Tough move to pull off. That's really cool, though.
He was a really great GM. That was
I
the whole thing.
played in a campaign that exact sort of thing happened, where it was the end, it was the big boss at the end. And just things went south. The dice did not cooperate for any one of us. And it ended up being a TPK, and we all talked about it, and the GM came up with the idea to say, like, okay, and now the cult takes over, and we're gonna play, make new characters, and we're gonna play like 10 years, 20 years, whatever it was later, in this world where this, power has been consolidated by this evil group, by this dark regime. And the there wasn't as much of the callback to the previous characters and the legend of the characters and that sort of thing, and we as a group had a hard time. Just like, it hurt. It just and this is just the fact that we had, it's individuals. We had different individuals playing the game than you did, Jess, and so for us it was like it just hurt, like playing this. We got to the we played a few games and we were like, this I and I was kind of I personally was just kind of like, I just yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather be like, okay, that happened. I've now experienced this massive TPK at the end of a campaign, something that I had never experienced. Well, that's not entirely true. I had once before, but that was a different circumstance. And I was kind of like, okay, let's just do something else. Like this
Yeah.
is, it was just too painful.
Sometimes you just gotta let it, even if it is like you had like a couple of things to planned before the end of the campaign. I think if you TPK on like the last like quarter to fifth of the campaign, it's worth being like, all right, do we feel good about making new characters, or do we just want to be like, the bad guys won this time?
It's
And
going to be
maybe
a
we can
very
play something
individual
later in
thing.
this
It's going to
world.
depend on the GM. It's going to depend on the players. It's going to depend on the dynamic between the players. And some player groups might have like some players that are like, okay, cool, let's do this continuation thing. And the other people are kind of like, okay, I'm not sure, but I'll give it a try. And I'm willing to trust all of you and we'll see where we go. And then other groups might be, if one person is not on board fully, then we as a group don't do it. And
It's
that's
also
just because that's
fun.
their dynamic.
It's also fun for pe for GMs who love world building and love having like a world where all their adventures happen in. To have the bad guys win sometimes is actually good, right? Because it creates more opportunities for conflict in your world. And I know a lot of game masters really love that kind of like storytelling across generations aspect. So that's a way to think of it as well, is like, hey, if the bad guys win now, well, then in a century's time, new heroes can rise. It is a storytelling opportunity as well.
Those characters too, depending on the right setting, could become spirits, gods, possessed weaponry. Like there's all sorts of ways you could bring them back in a way that's not permanent, because like the whole point of a TPK being an upheaval is that it is permanent. Like if it's a problem, it's because they're dead. But is still a way for them to again maybe come back to a character that they really liked. I was talking about this in the last episode. A lot of the reason why people play is for the role. Like you're there because you want to play this character and you probably become attached to them. And everyone likes a chance to reprise a role in whatever way that they can. If it is too much and you are playing in a fantasy world of some sort, or even like a horror trope world, like you can always have a resurrection arc. Okay, now you're in the seven pits of Hades, escape.
Yes.
Or oh, we just this was all a Twilight style. Alice was seeing this battle, this really cool battle that happened. No, it was just a vision, actually. What are you gonna do now? Also, it's worse. Like you could do something like that if it's like a huge problem for everybody at the table. Like there are ways to kind of like fudge the story around it, tropes you can play off of. If the ending that you gave them was not satisfying, or satisfying to them, or satisfying to you, because I think you also matter a lot as a GM. The characters made a bunch of stupid decisions. The dice really hated them, and they died. Well, that just ruined the rest of your story that you wanted to go through. You have some agency too, because you kind of control the world. Maybe a benevolent god resurrected them. Gandalf came back. Come on, we can be creative.
And if you make that a whole little story arc, I mean, you're escaping the underworld is absolutely okay. The cleric's patron deity got them this far. You've got to do the rest. Or
And
an NPC could be an Orpheus and Eurydice situation, right? There's a lot of different tropes to play on with you died, but you weren't done. Maybe you're all brought back as ghosts.
you're all brought back, and you only have until the next full moon before your corporeal forms disappear forever. Can you have this one last hurrah? And maybe they do it, maybe they don't within that month's time. Like there are some things you could do.
Yeah, and if you do go forward with like different characters down the road, continue the story of this world, what you do as the GM with these now dead characters, like we're talking about, like having them be spirits or whatever. If they're not going to come back, if they're just going to be Like they could be spirits or characters. Like if a character dies, they could run into them in the afterlife and then get a pep talk and then come back when the cleric resurrects them or whatever. You know, you could do all sorts of interesting things with that. Or they give them a gift, you know, to help them. There's all sorts of interesting things you can do with that. And I would just warn, again, about things like, oh, let's say, oh, let's talk about a way that the final season of Game of Thrones could be more painful. Zombie Hodor.
Oh.
Hodor dies, sacrifices himself, does the heroic thing. Beloved character dies, guts everybody who watches the show, right? The creators thought about it, I'm sure. We've got characters that are dying to White Walkers. They get raised up by the Night King. What happens? Do we show these characters in this final battle with all of the zombies? Tread lightly, GMs. That's a
Yeah,
player.
that's
That player, Hodor's player, might kick the table over.
or they might love it.
They might love
They might
it,
love it.
but you got to talk about it.
You
That's something
gotta
that, that
send
needs
them
to
a
be a
little
discussion.
message.
That needs to be okay. You know that. Okay, you know that the Lich King here raises up all of his defeated enemies. Hey, everybody who just lost a character, how do you feel about seeing zombie your character?
I did have that happen in a
Make sure
space
that
game.
they're on board with that because that's like, if they are grieving the loss of their character, that's like walking over and then pissing on that character's grave.
I had that happen when a player had to leave for life stuff midway through a space campaign, and he really, really wanted his character to come back as an antagonist. And I was like, and we had a whole plan. I was like, okay, this sounds sweet. And what I was not 100% prepared for was for everyone else to be sad about his character coming back. Be like, no, we miss our friend. So that's also a thing is that like the person might be fine with it, and everyone else might be like, oh my God. Now that one was a little different because the player had left as well as the character. And so the character had died and the player had left. Character had kind of gotten killed off because the player had to leave, not the other way around. But I was not expecting that kind of like, but wait, no, we miss player reaction. So that's also a thing to be aware of, is that like that played it played the horror of it played great. But then there was also some like, but wait.
Just have to be careful, especially and as a GM, you know, hopefully if the likelihood that this is happening and that these questions are being raised is you know, correlated to how long you've been playing the campaign. So hopefully you know the players fairly well. You kind of have a sense of what types of things should be talked about with them if you're gonna pull, you know, if you go into a game where like every player is like, you do what you're gonna do. We'll deal with it. Okay, well, they gave you permission, but anything aside from that needs to be kind of maybe mentioned it. And situational stuff can be happening too. Like character gets killed, maybe doesn't ring as hard and hurt as much to somebody who didn't just lose their grandmother.
I think also there is a danger in resurrecting a character or doing a sequel or any of the things we talked about, other than just like, oh, this campaign's done, moving on to another one. Because sometimes a bad sequel can ruin your memories of the original. Sometimes, like, oh, we continued in this world and like your new ideas were felt very forced and contrived, and like you're adding things on here and it just doesn't feel as good. And now like I have this memory on top of the old memories that we were making when we were making this game. Like, I think like having don't make any rash decisions, I guess is what I'm saying. Like really plan it out, because a rash decision could backfire on you. My strongest recommendation is to take a step back and maybe play something else in the meantime while you collect your thoughts. Like, there's no reason for you. Like, obviously this upheaval happened. It was unexpected to everybody at the table, including you. You should not be expected to be like, boom, moving on.
Yeah, I
Like,
have a plan ready to go. No, you don't.
okay.
Right.
Yeah, I planned for this. That doesn't sound good either, right? I
No.
mean, outside of an OSR game or whatever. Like the GM says, okay, well, just killed everybody off and the big bad guy won. All right, so I planned for this. And the trainers are
Right.
like, excuse
Yeah, it's like, hey,
me.
I want to sort of pivot, which is we've talked a lot about like TPKs at the end of a campaign, and I think there's an equal, there's a different set of problems that comes when, especially if you're playing in a game that has like a leveling character advancement, your lower level characters are squishy. What happens when you TPK and it's like the story just started?
That's a great opportunity for people to make a new character if they weren't super feeling their first ones. Like you, I like when this has happened to me, given the option to like we can start over and you can be this character still, and we'll come up with a contrivance for them to rejoin the adventure, or we can start from the beginning and keep these characters. Or here's your chance, make a new one. Like there are opportunities for you at that beginning, that those beginning stages. I have accidentally TPK'd my party in the first in the first encounter they've ever had, and yeah, that was a big oops because that's not supposed to happen.
A
It's not
great
supposed to
chance for
happen.
them to wake up as captives. Whoops.
Yes, well, or it's a great chance for you to introduce a super cool NPC who saves their lives with their cool and awesome skills. And like that's what I ended up doing, is I had an NPC that they were going to meet later, and I just had them come in now and save them.
That's good.
And it worked out. And then they can kind of see like, oh, we are weaker and more feeble than we had ever imagined. Maybe we should actually be careful.
Prepare for encounters? Wow.
Yeah, I feel like that's oh, I just kicked my whole table. I feel like that's a less, for me, that's less disastrous. There's you have so many more options at the beginning than you might have in the middle. I feel the middle you have like the fewest options. The
Yes.
beginning and the end you have the most options. In the beginning you have the absolute most options. So that's one way that I've handled it. I've never just stopped a campaign because they
No,
died in
it's
the
too early
first
to stop the
encounter.
campaign. I had a
Yeah.
particularly sticky one where I was running a mystery plot and they
Ooh.
died with a clue that no one else plausibly would have. Oh,
That was the
that was brutal.
it wasn't a TPK that happened, but I played in a campaign where there were character elements for every one of the starting characters that had very specific tie-ins to this overarching plot that was going to take the entire campaign. And by the time we got two-thirds of the way through the campaign, there was only one of those original characters left. So the players realized this all out of the blue at one point, and it became all about that character never dies. And everybody kind of took on the mentality of like, my character can die, but we have to make sure that the one remaining character that has this really meaningful thing that came out of the story in the first few episodes, in the first two sessions, they get their resolution. We can't have all of those go away. And so that's maybe the tough part with a TPK, in the midway point, where I hate to use the cliche, but I'm playing the character who's got this destiny to kill the big bad guy, blah, blah, blah. I'm the big fighter, right? I'm gonna be the one to drive the sword through his heart at the end, and then TPK, boom, halfway through the campaign. Well, guess what? That prophecy was a little off, and now comes my twin brother, who really has the destiny. I mean, and it's silly and it's contrived, but you know what? Who cares? Years. If everybody's on board with it, you can still have you can reinvigorate some of those little pieces that you might have lost otherwise. And also, I want to throw this out there: if you are playing a Marvel game, multiverse, baby, start
Multiverse.
it all over. The only thing that happened difference in this other multiverse is the characters didn't all die at the end. Now you know what's coming a little bit. See if you can survive it this time, and let them play the big fight at the end with the boss that they all died to.
Oh yeah, I mean, you could
Play
have
it all
them
over again.
all.
Multiverse. That's the one
See,
difference
I would do that.
in this multiverse.
I would do that. I would bring out a Deus Ex Machina at the end that saves all the characters, and then they continue on the like, oh, they didn't die. Oh, we didn't die. It wasn't a TPK. And then later they find out that they are not the same characters from before, and it's a horrible thing. And there's a whole other universe that there's horrible things happening, and the real people that they actually loved are over there. Like, oh, how would make that horrifying for them? I would want there to still be some like some meaningful consequences. And I think that that's like. That's the important thing for me as a GM, is that there are meaningful consequences to a death. If I'm going to avoid it, I'm going to avoid it with a purpose.
And there's ways you can play that in, with multiverses. You can play that in a myriad of ways. You can be like, okay, well, we're going to start over with the big bad fight in this alternate universe where the characters are going to go through and they're going to win, and then they're going to learn, then they're going to learn about this other universe where they died, and they can go and avenge their own deaths and save, humanity or Earth or whatever. All of these other people that their other selves cared about. And go defeat that bad guy a second time because it's a Supers game and have fun.
In level up,
Are you
it's
really
fun.
playing a Marvel game if you're not, stopping Doctor Doom five times?
No, you got it.
You know, really?
In level up, we created a condition for doomed, which was you will die. You are going to die. There are very healing magic cannot save you. There are very, very few things that can, like a wish spell can, but very, very few other things. But you can still act for another, I think it's 2d12 hours or something. And that's a fun way to, all right, y'all are screwed. Have your operatic death scene. Punch through the multiverse to warn yourself in another universe the day before that this is how it's going to go down. You know, whatever it might be, have get the closure that you wanted with your relationship with one of the other players. You know, whatever it may be, infuse your spirit into your magical sword so that someday another person can pick it up and carry on your destiny, whatever it may be. But creating some kind of either homebrew or mechanical way to be like, all right, you're dead. Have your operatic death scene. I think that's really, really chewy.
Yes, operatic death scene, the swan song. I mean, all of those things are like, again, it's like giving them the agency because death is like the final taking away of a character in a player's agency. Like giving them a little bit more, just a little bit, a little, and that can be so tragic. It can be so deliciously
So
tragic
tragic.
when you do that.
I mean, which is sadder, if Boromir gets shot once, or if he when he gets shot and then he gets back up and he keeps fighting, gets shot again and again. Like
Yes.
that matters. That's so much more fun. That's
Yes.
doomed to me. There's a lot of ways you could do it in a lot of other systems.
Oh man. I was talking about this earlier that I've been rewatching the extended Lord of the Rings. I'm
As you
in the
should.
middle of Return of the King right now.
Nice.
And I can't think about anything else, so I'm glad you brought up Boromir. I'm just thinking of like so good, so good. I brought up
So
Gandalf earlier.
so good.
Yeah, I like giving them a little nice little cap off of the character. I think that that's like really important thing. A death should not feel like, ugh. Like sometimes having unfinished stuff feels meaningful. And people in real life die, without having finished their business too. Like, sure, but we're not playing this game to be real life
Yeah.
exactly. There's no harm in giving them something a little extra, even adding in other rules, because some games don't have them in there, or you might not
A
be
lot
playing
of
with a
them don't.
supplement that has it. Yeah. And maybe like, yeah, you shouldn't be rubbing your hands together and saying, I planned for this, but planning ahead for what are you going to do when a character dies or when there is a TPK, planning ahead of time for that so you don't have to plan it in the moment can also be helpful. Like, oh, I'm gonna add this doom mechanic that I learned about, this doomed thing. I'm gonna add that into my game. And if it happens, it happens. I'll use this. Or, ooh, I'm gonna have this second chance multiverse thing. Maybe I'll even drop some hints about it. Like planning for the catastrophic failure will make your life easier as a GM. You don't have to tell the players that you're planning for it. I think that can kind of get rid of the magic a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Some
But
things are your secret.
for yourself, like having that plan for yourself, I think that that's totally a legitimate and a good way to go about. And then if it doesn't happen, you can keep that for next time, for the next campaign you play.
And never write a mystery with a single point of failure. Never, never, never. Yeah, how did you end up getting out of that? Oh, badly. I ended up, they TPK'd, and so I had them, the guards spooked the people who are killing them. So I had them all roll, this was fifth edition, I had them all roll death saves, and two survived and two died. But they did lose the piece of evidence, so then they knew that that it was somewhere, but they had to find it. I don't, it was hard. It was really, really hard. And that's kind of why I think, like, if, especially if you're running some kind of mystery intrigue, there's information that only the party has. Learn from my mistake and have a backup plan, because that's probably the stickiest storytelling problem I've gotten myself into in like 6 years of being a GM. Like, that was really tricky.
What would you do differently? Like, knowing what you know now about how it turned out, the character who had that one piece of information dies. Like, what would you do differently?
I think the whole structure of mysteries, like how I write mysteries, has changed because of that, which is probably a different podcast episode. But you need three clues for every piece of information they need to solve the mystery, because they won't find all three. And that means if they find one and then they something happens, there's two other plot hooks that you have that you can use, right? And you also don't need red herrings, because players just run with them. But the three clues for any piece of information and multiple pieces of information to solve the mystery is how I write them now. Because, yeah, if it's follow clue one to clue two to clue three to solve the mystery, that's that you get in danger. You get in real danger.
Definitely.
I never thought of that until it happened to me. So that was part of why I picked this topic, because boy, was that tricky.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Like, there are a lot of catastrophic failures like that that aren't a TPK. The character that you've designed to be the prophetic chosen one in your character, they're the one who dies. Like, there are sometimes a catastrophic failure can just be one person dies, or they didn't go there, or they killed the wrong NPC.
Yeah, no single point of failure in anything you make, whether that is software, hardware, or TTRPG. No single points of failure.
That can be, I feel like that's like, and there are still going to be people who will do this though. Like, they will have accidentally designed a single point of failure, and then it will fail, and then you have to do, that's the harder job. That's definitely the harder job.
Yeah, you have to find some way to find a second clue for the piece of the thing that needed to happen, a second way through. And it can be challenging. Yeah, it can be really, really tough, which goes back to your thing of like, we just sometimes it's okay to just be like, all right, guys, we need to take a break. I didn't think that was going to happen. I don't have a plan.
Do we have any final thoughts on TPKs and catastrophic failures and what to do as a GM?
Ooh.
I guess my cliff notes are they suck, they're hard to deal with emotionally and practically, and the risk of them is really important for a lot of stories. So planning for them in terms of your story and in terms of the personalities at your table is the best thing you can do, so that when they happen, you're not freaking out, even if your players are.
Don't underestimate the impact they will have on your players on multiple fronts.
My takeaway is like a game design takeaway from this, because like Sarah, you talked about doomed, like the 2d12 hours to do this, or days to
Oh,
do
God,
this.
no.
Having a mechanic, like designing a mechanic like that into your game, designing a way out for when this does happen to avoid it, if that's something that you want, if you want that catastrophic failure to be avoided in the game, writing it into the rules of your own game can maybe save Or even just giving some suggestions, like some guidelines for a GM if this does happen. Like, this is a real possibility of the game. If it happens, you should blah blah blah. To prepare for it, you should blah blah blah. Having it in the text can be a nice, like, a way for the GMs and the players to kind of deal with it with less of a mental load, less of a mental and emotional load, which can be a lifesaver and an emotions saver in a lot of cases.
Saber for sure.
Are you searching for it right now, Sarah?
I was just making sure that I qu quoted you correctly. It is 2d12 hours.
Okay, got
A
it.
cre doomed creature dies at a time determined by the narrator or within 13 2d12 hours, and they continue to be doomed after they die. And that was particularly useful. That's particularly useful for the NPC comes staggering in, covered in blood, gives the key information, then dies, and the cleric's like, "I cast healing word."
Yeah.
Bam!
Come
So that's a real avenue where doomed is very useful, but it could also be all right, you're doomed for the next, 5 minutes, right? Do your thing, whatever it may be. There's avenues to do something like that to cushion a TPK.
Well, Sarah, thank you for joining us. This has not been a catastrophic failure.
Well, glad to hear it.
We appreciate you coming on today. And where can we learn more about you and what you do?
Well, I am newly-ish on Blue Sky at Scholar Sarah. So come say hi and show me how to use it because I don't know. I learned about starter packs on this podcast, so that's very cool. Hi, friends. I am also launching a Kickstarter, so you are the first to hear about it, although I assume that by the release of this podcast, I will have posted about it elsewhere. But as we are only 4 days into the new year, as of time of recording, I haven't talked about it much yet. But Splendid Souvenirs will be coming to Kickstarter on February 4th. And this is a big book of magic items, curse rules, sentient item rules. More fun, mundane treasure than, all right, you get a bunch of gold. It is designed for level up advanced fifth edition, which means it is mostly compatible with fifth edition and the new 2024 thing, probably. That doesn't inspire me, so I don't know. But what I can confidently say is that you run any kind of fantasy game that is even remotely adjacent to D&D, you can probably make a lot of the things in here work. And even if you don't, it has a lot of good, fun ideas for things to add. So it's got beautiful illustrations. It's got a bunch of great designers working on it. I will send the link to the pre-registration, pre-order page thingy to our lovely hosts. You should definitely give it a check out. Well, thank you
Woo!
again.
Thank you.
Yay! Oh,
You can find me on Blue Sky. I'm Joska there, and that is where I'm mostly posting if I am posting on the internet. You should go check out the Kickstarter for Runecaster, a game where you draw and combine runes to cast spells. It's a system that you can use to play mages learning how to be mages learning about magic. I did editing work for it, and that game is by Pangerman Collective. It is called, again, Runecaster. Go look at it.
and I'm Nerdburger Craig on Blue Sky. My website is nerdburgergames.com, and the games are all at drivethroughrpg.com. And yeah, that's the thing. There's a Kickstarter coming for a card game, but that'll be a few months.
Thank you to Steph Sachs for our opening and closing theme song, which is Avel, licensed under Creative Commons. Thank you, Steph Sachs, and thank all of you for listening. And we'll see you back here next time. Bye!